Our study this morning will come from Jeremiah chapter 26. We could entitle our study, A Divine Sermon Answered with a Cry of Death. And to give the background, Jehoiakim was not a good king. No, sir, not like his father Josiah, but rather he was evil and rebellious. As you see in Jeremiah 22, 17 through 19, he was a covetous person. He oppressed and he shed innocent blood and led the people into a bad situation. And he would receive the burial of a donkey. So Judah's sins had provoked God's wrath, and destruction awaited Judah, as the previous chapters reveal. So here in chapter 26, Jeremiah was to deliver God's word in the court of the temple to the priest, the prophets, and the people. And this is verse 7 of Jeremiah 26. So the priest and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. So the people there in Judah were warned by a divine sermon, but they had a choice to heed or to reject God's warning. And we want to begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. Yes, sir, preparing for eternity. We better be doing just that. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street. Yes, sir, right here in Martinsville. We come together in our Bible classes, of course. We're studying God's precious Word. But as we assemble together to worship God, we're going to be striving to do so with a proper attitude in spirit, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in truth, John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will be very much welcome, and we're a very friendly congregation. There's no doubt about that. Now, something else to mention. We're always glad to have Bible studies. Please contact us if you're interested in setting up a time at your convenience to do that. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, again, you can send those to us at 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, again, I want to announce our gospel meeting, which is coming up quickly, and it's to begin May the 19th, Friday night, and Saturday night on the 20th at 7 p.m., and then on Sunday, the Lord's Day, the 21st of May, it would be 9:30, 10:30, a potluck lunch, which is always good, delicious is the word for it. And then our final lesson of the gospel meeting would be at 1 p.m. We hope that you'll make your plans to be with us to hear Brother Ben Vick from the Shelbyville Road Congregation in Indianapolis. Brother Ben is a fine gospel preacher and a godly elder as well, working with that really fine congregation. I have a great love for the brethren at all the congregations, but I certainly know them very well. So let me put that in. Now, let's get to our study, Jeremiah 26, and we're going to start with verses 2 and 3. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. Now notice, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. If so be they will hearken, and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them, because of the evil of their doings. So it wasn't just their bad king. The people were following right along and doing the same sins. So notice, God tells Jeremiah, diminish not a word. That is, don't leave a word when delivering God's message to the people. If we recall in Deuteronomy 4:2, as God said to Moses, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. That's right. We're not to add to or take away from God's word today. Now notice, Satan changed God's word in Genesis 3:4 by adding just one word, ye shall not surely die. God said, ye shall surely die when you eat of the fruit in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they did die spiritually, immediately, and died physically in years to come. So Satan told the first lie recorded, John 8:44. He's the father of lies. So we need to note that. Proverbs 36, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. It's important that we understand God does not want his message watered down, added to, or taken away from. Now let me make a point here. One can make a true statement, let's say a preacher or teacher, and at the same time this teacher or preacher could deceive the hearers. For example, a preacher might say, we are saved by the grace of God. Well, that's certainly true, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It's certainly not a meritorious situation that we can earn our salvation, as pointed out there in verse 9. But they can make that statement, but leave out the truth that man must do something in order to be saved. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only, nor grace only. We have to respond to the gospel. God's grace allows us to be saved. We don't earn that. We don't earn the death of Christ. No, sir. But we submit to the will of God if we're going to be saved from our sins. So that's an example there. We're to work out our salvation, Philippians 2:12. Here's another example. A preacher, a teacher could say that the Bible explicitly does not say it's wrong to use mechanical instruments in the worship service. That's a true statement. It's not worded that way in the Bible. The Bible does not explicitly say it's wrong to play bingo during the worship service either. But how many of us would think that's proper in worship to God? Well, we know it's not. But you see, the Bible does say that we are to use our voice to sing. This is the type of music that the Bible tells us, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making the melody where? In your heart to the Lord. Now that's specific. That rules out every other type of music. Once we understand that, we're not going to make a statement that you're just saying it's not in the Bible not to use the mechanical instruments. No, you couldn't carry around the Bible if it told us everything we're not to do. When God says what we are to do, and that's specific, that rules out everything else. So let's be sure we understand that. and John 21:25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. That's right. We can't have everything written that Jesus did. We couldn't carry it around. Neither can we carry around a Bible that tells us everything we're not to do. So that should be clear and understood by us all. But let's go on in our study to verses 4 through 7 here in Jeremiah 26. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets whom I send unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. God is speaking of the temple and Jerusalem. So the priest and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord, in the temple there in Jerusalem. So Jeremiah delivers God's word to the people. And God's word is powerful. It's likened unto fire several times here in the book of Jeremiah. Let's notice a few examples. Jeremiah 5:14. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. Jeremiah 29. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah had to preach God's word. He was with the fire shut up in his bones. Now notice Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? We need to understand the power of God's word. So why is it that so many want to try and water down the gospel and think that they're actually helping God? Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the power of God's word. The power is in the message, not in the man. Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16-18. Excuse me. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Now, every gospel preacher needs to be as Paul. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ. We don't have anything to glory of. The glory is with God. We need to hide behind the cross as we preach. And we need to ask ourselves, whose doctrine am I preaching? That's right. It's to be the doctrine of Christ, isn't it? Luke 4:32, and they were astonished at his doctrine. That's the doctrine of Christ. For his word was with power. If you preach and don't use Scripture, you have no power in your sermon. No, sir, that's an ear tickler. Now let's go on as we go to verses 8 through 11 here in Jeremiah 26. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, Thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. And notice, when the prince of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And then spake the priest and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, and ye have heard with your ears. The people despise the message of God, and their reaction to God's warning is to kill the preacher. You see why we entitled the sermon, A Divine Sermon Answered with a Cry of Death? It's divine because Jeremiah preached the word of God, and he didn't diminish a word from it. He didn't add to or take away. He delivered God's word, and now the people are despising the message of God. They're more concerned about the temple in the city of Jerusalem than staying with the old paths, the way that God had set forth, Jeremiah 6:16. Imagine being so angry that they wanted Jeremiah killed, thinking that will remove the problem of their guilt. No, sir. Doesn't work like that, does it? So we ask ourselves, what is our response to God's message? Do we get mad at the preacher, harden our neck, or do we gladly receive the word if he's preaching the word? As they did in Acts 2:41, the day the church began, then those that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. But if you go over to Acts 7, verse 51, you see Stephen, a righteous man, preaching. He was saying the truth, but they hardened their neck, and then they stoned him to death. And the Son of God was standing, seeing this, showing the concern that our Lord and Savior in heaven had for Stephen. Now, Proverbs 3:11, My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. As children, we didn't like it when we got a whipping, but we needed it, didn't we? Our parents loved us and gave us what we needed, and it helped us. We are thankful for it. Well, the same should be true with God giving us discipline. The chastening of the Lord should not be despised. We should not be weary of his correction when we're in the wrong, to straighten up and fly right, as we used to be told. Now, when we despise the preacher who is preaching God's word, what are we really doing? We're actually really despising God if his word is being preached. Now, preachers need to preach in a proper way with love in their hearts, warning people to obey the gospel, not preaching down to people. So the preacher should have a proper attitude, certainly. But when he's preaching God's word, it needs to be accepted as God's word. In Matthew 6:24, No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do both. Jesus declared this in the Sermon on the Mount. It's certainly for our admonition today, is it not? Well, let's go on and Notice verses 12 through 15. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house, against this city, all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I'm in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For a truth, the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Jeremiah defends himself, rightly so, doesn't he? Jeremiah's choice is not to back up from the truth, nor to quit preaching, as so many have done today. Give in to the wokeness that's going on in our society. We're being told that sin is now the proper thing to do. Folks are calling evil good and good evil, aren't they? Like Isaiah 5:20 tells us. That's all around us, isn't it? Well, what about staying with the Word of God? Is that not the right thing to do? Well, we all should say, of course it is. You see, Jeremiah is not only defending himself, but he's defending the truth. It is the Word of God that's being preached, not Jeremiah's opinions. Remember what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. That's the way we all should be. Now, Paul and Stephen, they're examples of gospel preachers in the New Testament who would not waver from preaching the needed message and defending the truth. As you see in Acts 7:2-56, there was Stephen, as we mentioned a moment ago. He didn't back off because he was fixing to be stoned to death. 2 Timothy 1:11-12, you see how Paul is going to continue to stay with the truth and defend it. Philippians 1:7, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, writing to the Church of Christ in Philippi, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Verse 17, Paul was what? Set for the defense of the gospel. Now notice verses 16 through 19 here in Jeremiah 26. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priest and to the prophets, after they heard Jeremiah defending himself, This man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Morasite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high place of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. So the elders decide it's not wise to take Jeremiah's life. Yes, these rulers realized Jeremiah speaking by the authority of God. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2. We preachers that are wanting to do God's will, we've got to stay with it, whether it's received well or it's not. Again, preach in love, though, with the proper attitude. Now, leaders in the Lord's church today need to recognize biblical authority. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, pertaining unto all things unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. So the church today needs godly men to be appointed as elders who will meet the qualifications there in 1 Timothy 3:1 through 7. Men who will hold fast the truth. Notice Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainslayers. So notice 20 through 24, Jeremiah spared, but another prophet is killed. You'll want to study that as our time is about gone. But notice, all the apostles were recorded in secular history, one in the Bible, James, to have been martyred with the exception of John. Now, are we ready to die for the cause of Christ, if it came to that? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life, Revelation 2:10, our Lord said. So as we close out our study, what is our attitude towards God's Word? We can remove the messenger and close our ears to the message of God, but that's not going to escape the outcome. No, sir. So what will we answer if our conscience is pricked? 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we're saying here is, when our conscience is pricked by the word of God, we need to answer it. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. Of course, we have to hear the word of God. That's how our faith is to come. Romans 10:17. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ. Yes, sir. John 8:24. And we're ready then to repent, making a change of wills to do the will of God. Luke 13:3-5. Now, once we've changed our direction in life, ready to do God's will, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Romans 10:9-10. Now, we're ready to be baptized for the purpose of washing away our sins. As we're calling on the name of the Lord, we're submitting to his authority. Acts 22:16. As we come up out of the watery grave, we're walking in newness of life, and we're added to the body of Christ by the Lord himself. Acts 2:47. The scriptures need to be followed in the plan of salvation, no matter what someone may mean well say, but what does God say? Have we submitted to his will? We're ready to study further, and we certainly want to thank everyone for listening today.